Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Therefore, that's how he begins this closing part. Therefore, in other words, based on everything that he has said prior to this, because of all that, in light of all that, based upon all that I have already said, therefore, stand firm. What he had said before is he recounted to us the humiliation and exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was God, he set aside all the rights and prerogatives of God in order to become man, in order to suffer and to die, and even to endure the death of a cross, the shame that that would bring, at least among the people of this world. But in God's eyes, for this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name above every name. And so we are not to prize the things that this world prizes and covet the things that this world covets. But we are to think of all of those things as rubbish, things to be cast out, for the surpassing glory that we have in Jesus Christ. Because of all of that, and more, for our citizenship, he says, is not here. Our citizenship, he says, is in heaven. And from it we await a Savior, that is, one who will return to judge the living and the dead. And when he comes to return to judge the living and the dead, he will judge those who believe and trust in him righteous. Come, blessed of my Father, receive the inheritance prepared for you by my blood. And he will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself, precisely because he is God, became man, suffered and died in our place for our benefit, and was raised again. Because of that, that is the power, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. Because of that authority, because of that power, he has subjected all things to himself, and he changes our lowly bodies and the shameful things that we must endure in this life, the things that are but in the long scheme of things, rubbish, because they will all rust out and be destroyed and be decayed. But our true treasure is kept in heaven, waiting for us, undefiled, unfading. Because of all that, stand firm. Because of all that, stand firm. Build, in other words, as our Lord taught us, build on the rock and not on the sand. So that when all the wind comes and blows and the sea and the waves come and crash, that you don't find it all toppled over and destroyed and in a big rubbish heap, instead of standing firm, to be able to withstand the things that are coming at you. And we find our ability to stand firm, not because our legs are strong, but because of the foundation upon which we stand. Jesus Christ, the prophets and the apostles, the Word of God, which is unchanging and immovable. So stand firm. Now, this standing firm is not the sour and dour standing firm where we always look mad and angry. It's the standing firm that laughs in the face of the things that the world will throw at us. It's when we as fathers or leaders in our community, when the going gets tough, we laugh. We dress nicer. We laugh louder. Even when we are feasting on things that are smaller portions or more costly. Because these things are rubbish compared to the things that await us. What do we have to be sad about or dour about or hanging our heads about? Do you not know that Jesus, who humbled himself, was also exalted, and that he is the God of the living, not the God of the dead? And so all of those whom you think are dead and you are sad about are alive. And they are waiting for you. So stand firm. And don't nitpick each other. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. This is not to say that there aren't some things worth fighting for in the church. Obviously, he has already gone on at length about fighting for true doctrine. But is that really where most of our arguments are, one to another in the church? Is it really over, we're fighting for the true doctrine here among ourselves? No. We don't like this thing, or we don't like that thing. And we hamstring ourselves of being effective to demonstrate to the world that we are of one mind, that we have the same Lord, that we are pushing in the same direction, and we love being around each other. So instead of not agreeing in the Lord, St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. Always. Again, I will say, rejoice. This is the kind of joy that comes when Leanne plays the hymn that we just sang. And you are singing full-throated, and it's not really coming out that great because you just want to sing louder. It's the kind of joy that comes when you are with the people whom you love, your people, and you are laughing at the silliness of this world or of the joys that are to come, when you are comforting one another with the words of the gospel. It is the joy felt, not just on Christmas morning or Easter morning, but even the deep joy that you go home on Good Friday knowing that you have a Savior who did that for you. That joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Can he make it any more plain? Rejoice always. Again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone, for the Lord is at hand. This word reasonableness, it has such a wide range of meanings. Obviously, reasonableness, but also equity, fairness, selflessness, patience, forbearance, moderation. Demonstrate yourself, as we were taught in the Catechism under the Eighth Commandment, to put the best construction on everything. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. And not just because he promises to be with you always until the end of the age, that he will never leave you or forsake you, but this is being read to the Philippian church at church on the Lord's Day. This is St. Paul's sermon to them. The Lord is at hand. You can almost see the guy reading it, probably Epaphroditus, say, "The Lord is at hand," pointing to the body and blood, or the elements that would be the body and blood of Jesus. The Lord is here. So don't let the tiny squabbles within that separate us and make us ineffective rule the day, so that the rubbishness out there can pick us apart and take us out one by one and separate us from the flock. The Lord is at hand, so let your reasonableness, your forbearance, your patience, your fairness be known to everyone. Is that not what makes people want to be where you're at? When you are fair and you are in joy. So do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So when you do have things, do not be anxious about it. Do not let those things rule over you. Do not let those feelings have dominion over you and what you do and how you will act. But contradict them with thanksgiving. Point out, as we all know, that 99% of our days go exactly the way we wanted them to go. And it's only the 1% that we remember that went bad. It's like just after you wash your car and your windshield and there's suddenly a bug on it. And you only notice the one bug, even though the rest of the car looks spick and span clean. Do not be anxious about that or anything. Again, why? Because the Lord is at hand. The risen living Lord who gives his body and blood to you for the forgiveness of your sins is here. And he's coming back. And so contradict your anxiety with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a promise. In contradicting the things that you have anxiety over with the things that you are thankful for and joyful in, God promises to put peace in your hearts, to reign over you, to guard you in Jesus. So he sums this all up with, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, pure, lovely, whatever commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. I usually add, when I'm reading this, if there is anything worthy of praise, for crying out loud, think of these things. Because whatever we are dwelling on, whatever we are thinking about, whatever things we are watching closely, it is those things that rule our emotions and dictate our actions. So think about the good stuff. Think about all the stuff that God has done, whatever is lovely, whatever brings joy. So, you know, Marie Kondo, your life, does this spark joy? I'm not going to watch it. And what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. St. Paul then goes on to thank them for all the gifts that have poured out from them because of their care and concern about the gospel. That he has learned how to be content. Why can he be content? Why is he able to delight in all the things, whether it's abundance or in lack? Whether he's being beaten to death, stoned, cast into prison as he's writing this, shipwrecked, given the 40 lashes lest one. Why is it in all of these different things he's able to rejoice and be content? Because he knows this is all rubbish. Because in the end, it doesn't amount to anything. They can do their worst to him, and his body's going to be transformed to a glorious body. And this proof of this is he's seen the Lord Jesus, who was raised in his glorious body. But he thanks them and dotes on them for them to share in his ministry and sufferings. That they so love the gospel, just as St. Paul does, that they will suffer along with him so that he doesn't have to suffer as much. Because God, in Christ Jesus, is able to do all things. He doesn't move forward from city to city thinking, maybe this isn't going to work. Nor does he think, is it really worth it? Nor does he think, will he see it fully flourishing? What does he say in 1 Corinthians? I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the growth. That means he put it in the ground, and he didn't see it come up. Like the people of old who built the cathedrals over 600-700 years, they laid the foundation and they never saw it built. But they still laid the foundation. They still played their part. they still believed in the mission of the church. For nothing is impossible with God. He raised the dead. So as we close out the book of Philippians, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Let your joy in the death and resurrection of Jesus be known to everyone. That whatever may happen, whatever storms may come, whatever winds may blow, whatever big bad wolf may come down the road, you are firmly planted, standing firm on the rock, the sure foundation which can withstand everything. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.